When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And I'm wondering how to be 60. It's scaring the shit out of me.
Hello, everyone. Sorry to break into your midweek, but Granny McKenzie and I felt the need to have a How to be 60 spin-off. Or, well, to be perfectly honest, I felt the need, and I invited Karen to join me, only if she wanted to, of course, with no pressure whatsoever. Entirely up to you, Karen.
No, it's fine. My radio stint was cancelled this morning, so I had a wee bit of free time between transplanting seeds and pushing a pram in the peeing rain.
Can I just confirm you're here entirely by choice?
What's this about?
Right. Okay. Well, let me explain what this is all about. And I know you probably won't remember because, you know... No, hang on, stop being insulting, So, Jane Garvey's episode that went out last week, okay, I don't know if you remember, but we were discussing whether your essence ever really changes, because I had said I'd had this big epiphany,
right?
Remember, and I thought, you know what, I might be 61, but actually I am the same person I was when I was 15, 25, 45. Not to say I still feel that way, but the essence of me, right? And then Jane said that she was a wee gobshite at school and she still is. So that was a conversation. And then you kind of lured me into, I feel, being very complimentary towards you.
Hang on. You can never be lured into anything, Kate. Let's just put that out there.
Well, here we go. And this is where we're going. So basically, I said, well, I thought that you were very funny and that you had a lot of potential, but I sometimes felt that you kind of lacked confidence. So there was I thinking I was being nice. And then you turned around and you told me I was an arrogant know-all who always insisted on having my own way.
I might have said slightly arrogant. You do like to get your own way, it has to be said. I know where this came from. This is, I wish I could remember just what you said a minute ago, but this comes from you thinking or believing that I have a brain and not using it. And therefore I've wasted my life. And you see it as a sort of shame.
Oh, so you thought I was being nice to you and you actually felt insulted.
No, it's the arrogance, I think, is like, actually let me make an analogy. It's like almost some friends or kind of school colleagues that you had, that school colleagues, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know.
Chums that have never left Grangemouth. And you think, oh, God, it's a shame they've never actually seen the world. You know, they're still there. They actually might be happy. But because you've done, you know, more with your life, you think that everyone should be doing it. I didn't go to university. I accept that I probably should have actually worked a bit harder. The chip, I think, has gone from that. But I am actually happy with where I am in life. Happy with my greenhouse, happy with my grandchild, happy with my holidays with the camper van, need I say more? So I think it's this, back to this slight arrogance that, yeah, I'm just going to repeat myself now, that you think I've got a brain, but I didn't really use it to its full potential.
Well, do you know what? That is so interesting, because what I genuinely believed I was saying to you, you obviously heard something else. And I wonder how much that happens, because, you know, in my head, that is really not what I was saying. Though I do get where you're coming from. And the one thing I can tell you is that I do reflect on these things. I really do, because, you know, at the end of that conversation, it was like, well, I said, well, okay, I can be a bit controlling. And I honestly, hand on heart, I went away that day and I thought, right, okay, am I controlling?
You know, seriously, you actually had to question that.
Well, yeah.
Sorry, I'm not going to interrupt you. I beg your pardon. Carry on.
Well, no, because these things do bother me. You know, I mean, nobody wants to be arrogant. Nobody wants to be controlling. You know, so I did genuinely go away, like, for the rest of the day or whatever. And I thought, and you'll like this. I thought, oh, maybe I need to do a bit of self-reflection here, because I'm obviously, you know, not coming across the way that I would want to. So I thought, right, who can I trust to give me an honest assessment of this?
And, me.
Well, yeah, yeah. So I went through various people and I thought, well, Ian and Charlie, we were having dinner that evening. I thought, well, I can rely on them to be completely honest. And so we had dinner and I said...
And I would like to know how you framed this. I hope it was honestly right.
I'll tell you. I said, so we're doing a podcast today and Karen said, I used the word controlling because I think that was the other kind, that I was controlling. Do you think I'm controlling? And I have to say,
was there kind of like,
it was funny because there was like a dead silence,
tumbleweed.
You know that pregnant pause that you could actually reach your hand out and pull the air, feel the air. And
God, I feel for them. Can we be honest? Looks to each other. Can we be honest?
They looked at each other. So his eyes went this way, her eyes went that way. It was like one of those cartoons.
Both looked at the table.
You could see them going, are you going to tell her or am I going to tell her? And then so it was like,
okay.
Well,
I don't think you need to the answer. That's hilarious.
I said, right, okay. And so, yeah, they did agree that I do like to get my own way. And, you know, I can be assertive.
Assertive. Assertive. That's a very nice way of saying.
Which was the word that they put it.
Assertive.
And so you think, oh, God, where did I get this from? Is this how I am? And then Charlie, bless her heart, kind of let me off the hook. And this is where I think it gets interesting. She said, well, yeah, Mum, you are like that. There's no doubt about it. She said, but it's not necessarily a bad thing because you get things done.
Mm-hmm.
And you've always got things done and you've always got things done for us. We come to you when we want things done.
Like you, Dad.
Which, well, no, that's true. And I mean, but Ian gives them other things. I mean, Ian absolutely gives them other things. And I did that with my mum because I always knew that if I was in a scrape, she would get things done.
Right.
And so I guess that is kind of learned behaviour.
Yes.
And
yes.
I obviously do have to kind of mitigate it, but I was glad that she kind of let me off the hook a little bit because I don't know, it's not a good thing, but
you have admitted yourself, though, in the past that you are controlling. I'm sure you have on this podcast. If not, you've certainly said it to me downstairs, or I think you've said I can be.
The thing is, controlling is such a negative word, isn't it?
And well, I think I suppose it's when you're controlling other people.
It's particularly controlling, I think, when you attach it to women.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I wasn't thinking of that.
Because I don't think... I mean, I hate that thing when people say, well, I didn't do that to a man because I think it's too simplistic sometimes. But I think it is difficult to be an assertive woman. And I know it was difficult for my mum to be an assertive woman because...
In the business that they were in?
Yeah. Mm. And everyone saw my dad as, you know, the sort of... He was kind of handsome and smiley and funny. And everyone thought he was a great guy.
Yeah.
And even now people come up to me and say, oh, your dad was a great guy.
Absolutely.
Oh, but your mum was a hard woman. But the thing is, my mum was the one that made things happen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting, isn't it?
And people kind of resented her for that.
Do you think that's quite strong?
No, they did. They did. And it hurt her. We used to have long conversations about it because didn't want to know. I don't know if blokes would worry about being seen as controlling or assertive or not. But as a woman, it's not a nice thing. And I think
men's eyes, you're seeing.
Well, in anyone's eyes. I mean, in your eyes. Because when you were saying to me, you're arrogant, I mean, you're not saying good old Kay.
God, I missed you. I suppose the arrogance was from you think you know best.
Yeah.
About my life. I suppose you think you know what you want in your life, Kay. You want to carry on working. You want to make money is your motivation. I am not motivated by money. Yes, I would love to have some more money, but it's not the be all and end all for me. I think maybe what you think of you see success, money is
but you equates think to you success. Know what I think.
That's right. I'm arrogant as well. I suppose I'm just seeing at the moment. Am I anywhere near correct?
No.
So money, you're not motivated by money?
Oh, no, I'm not saying that. I mean, I am definitely motivated by, I guess I see it as security. But
success?
I don't, yeah. And that's very much so the way I was brought up. But I don't think, oh, Karen's wasted her life at all. I find your life fascinating.
Fascinating.
Well, what else? I mean, I've got to have some opinion. What do you want me to say?
Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, it wouldn't work for me because I am the nature I am.
Exactly.
But, exactly. I mean, good on you. Fill your boots. I don't have any issue with anyone else.
I suppose, yes, you wouldn't want my life. I wouldn't
you want wouldn't
yours.
Want my life.
Absolutely. But it works for me, mine, and yours. I would say to a degree works for you. Only because we're doing this podcast and maybe you want to wind down just a wee bit. I noticed, I mean, on the odd day that you've had off, you've said, oh, God, it was lovely. I just really, you know, and I think, oh, my God, we're getting there. You're going to lose a wee bit of the work that you've taken on. And then it creeps back up again.
I know,
but that's you.
I know, but I could say there's arrogance in you thinking that I need to change.
But we've all got opinions. You need to. Oh, did I use the word need? I didn't mean to use the word need. That's a bad word, isn't it? Do you think we could fall out over this? I don't think so.
I think it's interesting. So in terms of why we are the way we are, do you think it's nature or nurture?
Oh, I always get confused over this. I think I have definitely taken on traits of my mum. Not particularly good ones.
Like what?
Well, she certainly ran the house, right? She did everything in the house from the cooking to the cleaning to the money, the clothes shopping for the lot of us, including my dad. She just ran that whole house. My dad, I would say, took in 90% of the money into the house. And then when my mum got a chance, she started to do bed and breakfast and she got her independence then. And that was good. But in terms of and I see it myself now, with Lisa having a baby and I want to say things, rod for your own back. I don't say these things, but, you know, I can feel things that have been ingrained in me by my upbringing. They've not left me.
Right, I'm not saying this facetiously. I promise you, you're not. But you sound as if you described your mum as being controlling.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, so maybe do you resent that then? Is that where you kind of see it in me and you don't like it?
Oh, I think my mum was controlling. Do I? I don't compare you to my mother.
No?
No. No, I think it's just experience in working with you has learned. I mean, I only know you through work.
Right.
And I see that side of your nature there.
Yeah, but I don't, I mean, from my point of view, I just wouldn't have had the career that I've had. I mean, I'm not bigging it up, believe me, I'm not bigging it up. I'm not saying it's anything special, but I just don't think I would have survived in the work environment I've
been in. I think you're probably right.
Unless I had been this nature, because you just get knocked back so often that You just got to come back. You just got to come back fighting, really. And I think it probably has shaped me to a certain extent.
Yeah, no, I think you're absolutely right. I think maybe what I mean is, in terms of if you've got something in your mind and you ask around for different people's opinion, will you take their advice on board? Or will you just think, I was just quite interested. Actually, I'm going to go with what I want anyway. Because I think I would probably, to a degree, still really go with what I originally thought.
Well, I honestly believe that if I think somebody's got a better idea, I will go with it.
Right.
But that doesn't happen that often.
No, I'm sure it doesn't. No, I was about to go into the old Charlie and Ian mode. How do I say this?
Do you know the other thing that Jane said that I thought was really interesting, you know, when she said she was working on Woman's Hour and it was perfect for having young children and everything, that was really good. And she managed to go to every sort of school event apart from one, and her kids always sort of remind her of that one. But, you know, she said, your kids aren't grateful for that, but I'm really glad that I did it. And it's funny because when she was speaking, I thought to myself, do you know what? I'm glad that my mum didn't
come to these things.
My mum was rarely at anything, at a parents' event, at a sports event, at anything, because she just worked so hard with my dad in the business. So I never expected her to show up at any of these things. And actually, it's weird because my reflection is I'm really happy about that, because she gave me a very different role model from the one that all of my friends' mums had, which was to be at home and to be the domestic person. And I'm not deriding that. And I know a lot of people take a huge amount of satisfaction from that, but I don't. I'm not domestic. And I like the fact that I'm not domestic, but it's something I'm quite happy about. So the fact that my mum showed me another way to be actually was good for me.
Yeah, yeah. And have you missed many of your kids' events and whatnot?
Not that many. No, no, I haven't. I really do try, but I'm definitely not a school mum. I was never a school mum. I was never in any of the committees. Bonnie in particular sometimes says, oh, why can't you be part of the school gang? They all go on holiday together.
Oh,
they go weekends together and they go running together.
Wow.
And I've never sort of made friends with school mums. I'm not saying I haven't had the odd friendship with somebody that I liked, but you know, but I have gone, but I don't feel guilty if I can't go. And I was interested that Jane clearly felt it was important that she went to all of their events.
Yeah, I think I would think it's important. It would have been important for me. God, you know, when you were talking about your mum not going, I don't even think her parents were invited.
Well, there wasn't that much, was there? There just wasn't that pleasure.
Yeah. A school sports day, and God, who would come along to that? They certainly didn't. Mm. My father probably didn't even know they existed. And my mother, no, she was never, I don't even know if they did exist, but she was certainly never at that. And parents' nights, Christ, I'm not sure they existed either.
But it's funny, you know, Charlie would just tell me the other night, she was speaking to a boy, and so their final year at university, and they were just having a chat, a drink or whatever. And this boy, so he'd be, what, 21, 22, in conversation said that, you know, if further down the line he met somebody and he was going to have kids, he wouldn't want his wife to work.
Oh.
And because women are better at looking after kids, and he would see his job as supporting the family. And, you know, and they actually, I think, used the word, wouldn't let her work.
Oh, stop it.
And you think, God.
Seriously? What was she doing having a drink with him? That's weird.
Well, there was three of them that had been at some kind of event or whatever.
Four
of them.
Where the conversations?
But isn't that incredible?
Tumbleweed.
At 2024.
Oh, my God. What kind of an upbringing was that? Or what kind of an influence has he had in his life? That's weird.
I know.
Isn't it? Well, to think nowadays that you actually get people that think like that.
Yeah. And so.
And they do exist. That's scary.
Well, so it's lucky she doesn't get together with him, because you can imagine Charlie introducing him to his mum.
I'd love to know how she responded to that one.
I know. Anyway, well, there you go.
Well,
that was
right.
Our little 60s spin-off. Well, different strokes for different folks.
Yeah. Are we meeting next week?
Yeah, yeah.
She says slightly kind of like.
No, I find all this stuff fascinating.
Yeah, you don't feel attacked by me, Kate,
no,
do you?
No, I don't at all.
Skin that thick, no.
No, well, that's good. And wrinkly. So the sort of question for this podcast was, is Kay a controlling witch?
Ooh.
Do we have an answer?
Well, I think the point of us doing this little spin-off was because I might have mentioned that you were in the first place.
Right, okay.
I don't know about which.
Okay, thank you. All right, I think I'll just quit while I'm ahead. Hi, my name is Kay Adams, and to be honest, I'm not so good with the aging process, so I enlisted my old chum, the filter-free Cara McKenzie, to advise.
Could you imagine being a porn star? The room would need to be really hot for me to strip off.
To be honest, she's not much help, but she is rather amusing. And along with some great guests, Joe Brand, Andy Oliver, Anton Dubek, Ruth Langsford, and Craig Revel Horwood, darling, we are learning how to be 60. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.